Ann Martin, host and executive producer of On the Top of the World, a new PBS TV series. Welcome and thank you for joining us. Good morning, Ann.
Thank you for that nice introduction.
I'm glad I'm talking to somebody with some experience, because you know how these things can happen once in a while. And your credits in this industry are so varied and numerous, and it'd probably take the whole of this segment to mention. So why don't we go straight to your latest and exciting travel-based television series, On Top of the World.
Thank you. That's an excellent idea. I think that one of the great things with television, as I'm sure you can appreciate, is that it's so expensive to produce, and also that you're sometimes you don't have a lot of time, so you're running around trying to get as much material as you possibly can in a short space of time. Traveling over the country, you're at the whims of the weather to a large extent, and we take what we can, and then down the road you're sort of looking back and thinking, oh, I did do that story, so I don't need to do that one again. So you go back and you pull up your footage that you've had from before, and basically that's what we've done with the latest series, because the journeys through the British Isles, over the past 5 years or more, we have done so many different trips to Ireland, Wales, England, Scotland, the Isle of Man, and we've gathered all of this together into a three-hour special, which is being produced for PBS and will go to air in September now. It was scheduled originally for July, but they decided to move the dates up to September, which I was actually quite happy about. And within the 3 hours, we spend the first hour on England, and do a variety of different journeys. That's one of the things that we tried to do, Roy, was to give a sense of all the different themes that you could do on a trip to England, rather than just sort of scatter yourself all around the country. If you follow a theme, if you're really interested, for example, in Jane Austen or Charles Dickens, you can not only go and follow their footsteps, but you can also go and trace some of the places where the more recent films have been made, like Pride and Prejudice, Emma and Persuasion, or some of Charles Dickens' wonderful novels. So it makes for an exciting and more interesting trip.
Just going to say, the other thing is, people don't realize, I think, that how much research and time goes into the actual the research end of it, because actually doing the show itself is quite easy. It's all the other parts and the bits and pieces.
Yeah, it is. And I'll tell you a quick little story which actually does not concern Britain but concerns Grenada. And it tells you how sometimes your research can lead you astray. We were doing a story on spices, and we had gone to Grenada, and we were doing the nutmeg plantation and interviewing one of the plantation owners or a descendant of one of the big families. And we went throughout the island, and we finally came to Betty Maskell's plantation house, where she was famous for a particular dish. And when we arrived, she said to me, "Anne, I'm so sorry. I've only got a few minutes because a friend has died, and I have to run to the funeral." And I said, "Oh, Betty, don't worry. We'll do the interview quickly. We'll get the information, and then we'll film the plantation house after you've gone." So she said, "Fine." So I sat her down, and I said, "Now, what spices do you use in your wonderful dish?" And she looked at me and she said, "We don't use any spices." So the end of my story, which of course was everything was leading up to this wonderful dish that she concocted. So we really had to go back to the drawing board on that one. And one of the things I've done since then is, although I try to set out with a degree of research and a storyline in mind, I don't let that be the be-all and end-all. I try to have some flexibility now, because I know that maybe the story won't work out, and if I have my flexibility there, I can move and actually sometimes come up with a better story.
Right, and of course that's the big difference between doing newspaper magazines, because when you're writing something, you can obviously edit and change it. But
that's right.
When you plan to shoot something like that or broadcast it on the radio, well, one can go back and edit so much of it, but if the whole theme is based on spices and you find out there aren't any, yep, that's a problem.
That's right. The other thing with television, too, which I think is a challenge, is that you are somewhat at the whims of the weather, and you never know. When we went to Ireland originally, we were traveling around, and everywhere we went, it was raining. Now, I know that this is typical for Ireland, but people were always saying, oh, it's too bad you weren't here yesterday. And we thought, well, maybe we could sort of jump a day somewhere, you know, and try and get ahead and catch this elusive sun that's supposed to have been here yesterday.
Exactly.
But I think that's the value of something like television, is that you are seeing the destination as it really is. So often you see these beautiful pictures and it's all sunny and the sky, you know, the sea is an aquamarine color and the houses look so pretty. But if you happen to go during the rainy season or something, you're not going to see all of that, and you have to have an open mind to start looking at different things, other ways to experience the destination and not rely on being able to go out and see the picture-perfect images.
Exactly. Can you tell us a bit more about your series, Journeys Through the British Isles?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, one of the things that we did was we divided it into 3 1-hours. The first hour is on England, primarily, and we travel, as I say, using the different themes. So we have the Jane Austen theme, we have Charles Dickens, we also did Harry Potter, so we traveled around and went to various places that are in the Harry Potter books and that have also been used as film shoots for some of the Gloucester Cathedral, for example, became Hogwarts School.
Right.
And then we had another one in which we did the castles and the gardens of England, so that allowed us to travel around quite extensively as well and get into the history of castle building, which was very interesting. And that puts a different spin, because when you're looking at the castles of Britain, after a while you think, oh no, not another castle, you know.
Yeah.
But in actual fact, if you start looking at them from a different perspective and understanding how they evolved as gunpowder evolved and they stopped using the bows and arrows, and then they had the cannonballs and so forth. So you start to see how the architecture of castles changed. And then for those people that love gardens, we've got all these wonderful gardens, and talking to some of the horticulturalists that we met at the different national properties, telling us a little bit about the unique flowers and trees and I'm trying to think of the right word, the different, I won't say bushes, but you know what I'm saying.
Right.
All of the different horticultural aspects. And then from England, and we traveled extensively, a lot through the south, up through the heart of England, and then we did a little bit in the different counties. In the next program, we centered it more on Wales, Scotland, and the Isle of Man, and then did a little bit traveling along what they call the Hidden Highway, which extends from Hereford down to Rhos-on-Wye, and that took us on the borderlands of Wales. And so that was a way of being able to integrate the castles and that beautiful South Pembrokeshire coast, which has one of the, I think it's the first national coastline in Britain, and it's absolutely stunning. It's the kind of place. That's the disadvantage of my job. You get to these absolutely gorgeous places, and you've got 15 minutes, and you've got to move on, and you think, oh, please, I'd love to stop here for a
bit longer. Have a little
really
look,
enjoy this.
Right.
You know?
And then you did the Irish canals, cruising the canals,
yes,
didn't you?
Yes, we did. Now, again, we didn't spend a lot of time actually personally, you know, doing the canals. They gave us a quick sort of experience. But we did. We went through the Fermanagh Lakelands, to Devonish Island, which is an amazing island. I've fallen in love with that place. I've seen it twice now. Once when there was a major storm, I guess, coming in, and the sky was absolutely blue-black, and you had the stark gray of this wonderful tower that the monks used to climb into and brick up so that the Vikings couldn't penetrate it, and they'd sort of take all their possessions in and hide there until the Vikings had finished all their pillaging and plundering and moved on. And then I've also seen it when it's a beautiful blue sky, and it's just a stunning location to go and visit. Anybody that goes through the Fermanagh Lakelands, I thoroughly recommend that they go to Devonish Island, because it's wonderful. And then also that there was a cycling tour in Ireland, the other thing that we did, the cities primarily, of course, spending time in Belfast and Dublin, and Waterford, and sort of again getting the history that surrounds some of these towns, so that you're not just doing a rush around the city and that's it. What, one of the things that's fascinating, Roy, you'd rather enjoy this, I think, are the pubs, the pub tours.
I was just going to mention the pubs. You took the words right out of my mouth.
Well, I'll take the beer right out of your hand.
Yeah, exactly.
The pub tours are fantastic, and there's a lovely story about the Rose and Crown in Belfast, where the people that owned it, they actually put the crown into the mosaic tiling of the entrance of the pub.
Right.
So that as people walked into the pub, they were literally wiping their feet on the crown. So there's a lot of little subtleties.
We did a walking tour of the pubs one time, and we'd go to these pubs, and as you know, a lot of them are inns that have little, you know, that rooms above, and fallback to the old days, and it was really quite exciting. And at one point, I'd been away for a couple of 3 days, and the gal, the cleaning lady, said to me, you know, and the great Irish witch, she said to me, she said, "I hope you've been having a good time." I said, "Oh, I've been having a wonderful time." She said, "Well, you may as well, because once you're dead the rest of your life."
<That's right>.
Is that not typical of that?
Well, it is, and I'll give you another one, too, that we were given, and it's on the program. And that was when this American was talking and saying, "Isn't it too bad that Belfast is best remembered for the ship that sank, you know, for building the Titanic, the ship that sank?" And they were in a pub at the time, and the one of the Irish locals turned around and he said, "Yes," but he said, "She was okay when she left Belfast."
Exactly.
But that is typical kind of humor, and I must say I love it. Just talking about the pubs and the inns and the places you can stay, one of my favorite is the Albion Hotel down in a little place called Broadstairs.
Uh-huh.
And it's where Charles Dickens used to stay and where he wrote many of his books. And if you go to this very picturesque little seaside town, you can see the house that gave him the idea for Bleak House. It was originally a fort.
Right.
That was built on the coast to look out for smugglers and any spies that might be coming across from France. It's right down on the English Channel region. Now it's called Bleak House, of course. And people can still stay at the Albion Hotel. And it's one of those little tiny places. It'll never change, thank heavens, they can't do anything to widen the streets and things like that. But when you come down the stairs, you're always going round corners and up, and you're never quite sure if you're going to your room or not or something.
And we're about out of time, but before we go, all of these shows will be archived on the site, will they?
Yes, they will. They will indeed. And one, if I may just give you one fast, quick tip.
Please do.
Which is absolutely essential if you're traveling to Britain, and that is buy yourself a rail pass before you leave your country.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The savings are absolutely mind-blowing, and that is probably the best piece of advice I can give people. But yes, indeed, I will be putting up all the information of the times and dates when the series will be seen on PBS.
And for our listeners, you can go to our program schedule on ttrn.com and link right to it. So, and it's been wonderful. Let's do this again soon.
I would love to do it again, Roy. Thank you so much for having me on the program now. It's
certainly a pleasure. Thank you. Thank you for
taking
the time. Good luck
Thanks
on your
a
show.
Lot. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, that was fun. That was Ann Martin, and we need to look forward to her forthcoming program and show. We've got to go to break as usual, and when we come back, we're going to do a little rappy pie in Nova Scotia, so hang in with us.
Totally gone native. Totally.